Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Billy Donovan, coach of the Thunder, guy who said you can't play Cantor in the playoffs, ate some words in game one of the series. Enes Kanter was terrific. 20 points, 18 rebounds. A couple of those rebounds were just huge down the stretch. Former NBA big man Frank Brakowski, who's played in a ton of NBA games, born without a filter, liable to say anything, joins us now. Brick, you were there. What'd you think of Kanter?
What kind of setup was that? Liable to say anything. Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. It's called the Bald-Faced Truth. It's not called the Polite Tiptoe Around the Truth show.
Perfect. Perfect. You know, Enes won the game. He was the MVP. You know, you have Dame and CJ. We're so used to those guys being the assassins they are. But you got to mention Neil O'Shea. If Neil didn't sign this kid, where would the Blazers be right now? Or Rodney Hood? You know, I mean, I thought those two moves were huge, and has proved it last night. Even if he doesn't do anything else, he got us that first game. And a lot of stuff he does doesn't show up in the stats, right? So he got the rebound, he got the points, he put pressure on the defense. And I said it to him before the game. I said, look, you need to keep the pressure on. Be a threat the entire game. And luckily, he knows how to do that, right?
He made, and you're right about the things that don't show up in the box score. He put a body on Steven Adams. He was a problem in tipping balls out a lot of times, and the Thunder missed a whole bunch of shots, and there were a lot of rebounds to have. But I agree with you. I think he was the difference. How do you, like, what adjustment will the Thunder make to that? Is there an adjustment?
I don't know that there is. That's the good news for the Blazers, because what he does instinctually. He does because he knows how to play. He makes the right play, at least attempts to make the right play. He runs the court. You can't ignore him, and you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention. Your defense has to be structured around Enes Kanter now, not just CJ, not just Dame, but how are we going to stop this big kid and stop Dame and CJ? And I thought Dame, you know, I could never imagine doing this, but Dame to come out and hit a 28-footer at his first shot, it's a terrible shot. But he drains it. I'm like, oh, my God. It just tickled me. So I'm sitting with Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam and Kiki Vandeweghe, and we're going through the roof, and it's the first play of the game. And then the refs had those two no-calls
yes.
in the beginning of the game that said, look, this is playoff basketball, and we're going to let you guys play, which I love.
As a guy who has played 37 playoff games as a player, you recognize that right away. Do you look and see, hey, how are these officials going to call this game? Is that something you instinctively look for?
Well, you have hopes and dreams, right? Let us play. let us. It's playoff basketball. Myers Leonard put somebody on his back. I almost jumped out of my seat, right? And there was a no call. So that's exciting to the fans. It's exciting to the players. Let them play. Let them figure it out. Let them bang head.
Former NBA big man Frank Brakowski with us. In your career, you know, from the Sonics to the Lakers to the Spurs to Milwaukee, Boston, what am I missing in there? You have seen some things, okay? So you've been in playoff basketball. What is it like going game one to game two when adjustments are made in a series? How different do those games feel? Because game one felt like a little bit of feeling out game. Am I right there?
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not the coach, right? It's the players digging in and battling and realizing, look, we're in a scrap. I'm waiting for Steve Adams to show up with a battle axe, right? It's like, this is what basketball is about. This is what we love about the playoffs. So, you know, the coaching, I think Terry doesn't get enough credit in his coaching. Not that he's coaching strategically, but he has those guys buying into what they're doing, giving them the confidence to do what they want to do. For Dame to come out and hit that shot or CJ to have the green light, I mean, it's it's not easy to get their buy-in. You look at how it's lost so easily by Luke Walton or whoever else, and Terry's still got these guys playing confident, buying into his system, and that's exciting basketball. And so I think Terry's put himself at a top-shelf position as far as the coaches go.
Blazers had that great first quarter. It got dicey down the stretch. I got to give them credit. Every time Oklahoma City got within three or four, they turned it back on. But is there cause for anybody to be a little alarmed by the fact that the Blazers didn't win this one going away?
No, we won it. Who cares, right? It's like
win is a win.
Man, you know, Kiki said this is a nice atmosphere, and that's a compliment to Portland and the fans here and how they conduct themselves during the game. And you don't have the jerks like in Philadelphia and New York screaming inappropriate things. Portland's a great place for basketball, and it was evident last night. And I don't get excited about much, but that was a fun, fun game for me.
How beat up did you feel when you were guarding Shaq or, you know, playing against the Bulls in the playoffs, or, you know, you had a intense playoff series? What's your body feel like at the end of a game?
Yeah, it wasn't good. but I played different. But I played a little differently from everybody else. You know, and the good news was, like, the Buck Williams, the Charles Oakleys, the Xavier McDaniels, the tough guys in my era, we just knew enough to leave each other alone.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't that bad. But still, it's like, you know, and playoff basketball has you doing things you don't normally do, has you fighting fights you don't normally fight. I love the way they let Enes Kanter and Steve Adams go at it. That bang and that bang, everybody's tied into that, right? If there was a ticky-tack foul or you weren't allowed to push and shove, and Enes Kanter's outmanned by, I don't know, probably 30 pounds and a couple inches, and he was fighting every play, that's playoff basketball. That gets my blood going, and it got the crowd going. And if not for Enes Kanter, where would it be? You know, Nurk's a great, great player, and we need Nurk. And the other thing I want to say about the Nurk piece is Paul George suffered the same injury.
Yeah.
And he's rolling. And I text Nurk during the game, look, you're going to be fine. Look at Paul George. He's rolling. Just take some time. So anyway, I was thrilled with the game. You don't hear me excited about basketball much, but last night was a fun game. And, you know, I'm emotionally attached to this team, so it's even more fun.
Paul George was terrible shooting the basketball. He said afterwards it wasn't his shoulder. It was more of a rhythm thing. What does he mean by that?
I don't know. You know, as a shooter, as a scorer, as a great player like he is, I thought he hit some big shots down the stretch. I didn't really pay attention to how he was shooting. But Paul George is always a threat. And always going to compete and always going to show up. And I love him as a player. And I thought Evan Turner did a good job in a couple critical plays playing good defense on. You know, a lot of times the good offense outwins the good defense because you know what you're going to do, right? You have the element of surprise. And I thought Evan did a great job on Paul. And I'd be scared of Paul George coming back in that second game because he's an all-star and he's a competitor.
Frank Burkowski with us, former NBA big man. The Tiger Woods story happened before game one, but, you know, as it was finishing up, everybody was buzzing about it. We love a good comeback story, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do. And the power of that is how it went through that building, right? It was like a wildfire going through that building. And that's exciting because Tiger brings all the people that wouldn't watch golf into golf. And that's the magic of it, right? People are talking about golf that don't talk about golf. I'm a golfer, so I follow golf. I talk about golf, but all the other people that don't. And, you know, it's like we all love a comeback. You know, he went from a disaster to now winning a major, and it brings back the magic, right, to golf.
I think it's so interesting, too, because it just connects with people in different ways. There's some people who just love golf, and they love Tiger being involved. There are people of color, minorities who have only been following golf really for the last 25 years or so, 23 years when Tiger's been involved, who say, you know, this is the reason why I was brought to golf. It's a comeback story. There's a family element there. I mean, I think we all have things we struggle with in life, and we see a guy who has been through a very public catastrophic family situation, and now to see it back together. I mean, I think there was just a lot there, a lot of stories there.
Yeah, and the break down the barriers he did in our lifetime, right? So I'm 60, I'll be 60 this summer. To see those barriers broke down, it wasn't but 20-something years ago that one of the leaders at Augustus said he wants to see in his life and have it never change, white golfers with black caddies. I mean, and yeah, that's the dark part of the South and our country, and Tiger broke through those barriers. So to see him back doing what he's doing, we want to break down all those barriers, right? Especially in golf. And it's not a sport that everybody gets to play.
It's so true. And I watched all the golfers who put their arms around him as he was coming off the course. And it wasn't just a bunch of white guys.
No. And they care for him because of what happened to him, right? It can happen to any of us. Life turns on a dime, and the next thing you know, you're down and out, right? And we see it happen to people that don't deserve it or deserve it or whatever. Tiger's a good guy, and I love seeing him back on top, because now it's like we're all excited, right? It's like I went to the Masters last year, and I got to say, if you can go, just go, because it doesn't translate on TV. As magical it is and as great a job they do with that production, it doesn't translate. You just have to go. You have to go and see it.
Frank Borkowski with us. All right, game two tomorrow night, Moda Center, Blazers Thunder. What do you think happens in game two?
You know, it's like a prize fight. They took the punch. They're going to come back. Russell Westbrook is dangerous, right? He always is. You know, it's like when I see the great shooters missing a bunch of shots, I get more and more scared because
yeah,
they're not going to, you know what I mean? Like they're going to, their averages are going to play out. And, you know, Russell Westbrook's a beast. And are we able to contain him? I thought we did a great job of getting in front of him and staying in front of him. Paul George is going to come back and throw his couple punches. Steve Adams and Enes Kanter, I look forward to that battle. You know, if I had a crystal ball, I see maybe them stealing one. But we got to take care of business here. And I think Terry will have them ready, you know. And I think seeing the failures in the past of the first round exits, and that builds character. That and to Neil O'Shea's credit and the Blazers' credit, they've kept this unit together, and they're saying we believe it, and the players in turn believe in Terry. So I'm not going to make a prediction. I want to see a great game, and you know, I'm hoping we retain the home court advantage.
I was surprised the Thunder went away from the pick and roll, because Steven Adams, I think he had 11 points in maybe about the first 15 minutes of the game. And then, you know, they kind of went away from it and just started shooting, chucking up threes as they got behind. They did get back into the game, but do you expect they're going to make that pick and roll a bread and butter thing for them and try to take advantage of Kanter a little bit?
I think they're crazy if they don't. I don't. Like, when I talk about Pop, Bovich's sophistication about how he coaches. Like, I saw that pick and roll work, and we all did. Steve Adams is a great player. Put it away. Put it in your pocket. Use it once in a while. But down the stretch, milk it.
Yeah.
Right? You saw the weakness in the Blazers, or their inability to cover that sometimes. You know, don't give them a chance to make the adjustment at halftime. Put it in your pocket. Keep it rolling. Keep it close. And then go back to your strengths. Go back to that. But, you know, I'm no coach.
Because you've played good pick and roll defense. What's the key for a big guy in that situation? What should we be watching?
You know, it depends. It depends on the player. But for me, jumping out, just being aggressive. Whatever you're going to do, whatever the play is, you have to be the aggressor. Because the aggressor doesn't get the fouls called on them typically. It's the reaction to the aggression. If you're doubling it, you double it aggressive. If you're jumping out and coming back, you jump out and you put him off, right? You don't just jump out and say, hey, I'm jumping out. You jump out and you get him off balance and you jump back, right? So I think it, no matter what the coverage we do, is that first you cover it aggressively, whatever that is, and then that first rotation is critical, because a lot of players don't know to make that skip pass, don't know to move it past that first rotation. I don't want to get too complicated here, but it's an intricate play. That's why it's here and still alive and still effective. It's the one play that's been run the entire life of basketball, effectively, right? John Stockton and Karl Malone. That's all they did was wear you down with the pick and roll.
Frank Prokowski.
I have to mention one of my best friends who's running for the North Clackamas School Board Director in May. Orlando Perez is, we all want to take care of our own kids, but when you see people putting themselves out there wanting to take care of all the kids in the school district, so I just want to mention him. He's solid. Don't take my word for it. Research him, but be aware. He's the candidate.
Orlando Perez is getting Frank Prokowski's vote.
That's right. North Clackamas School Board Director.
There you go. Brick, thank you, man.
Thank you.
There you go. I told you he's liable to say anything. I had no idea. Political endorsement, basketball, whatever it is. The Brick will join us occasionally throughout the playoffs. Big Splash is coming up, and then we go into Camp OKC. Where are the Thunder's heads? Also, a development on the Oregon football front that I think is important, and a clock is ticking. We'll talk about it. I thought Frank Prokowski was really good. And I think he touched on something in his interview. And if you missed it, grab a podcast, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, wherever you get a podcast, you can find the Bald Face Truth Radio Show podcast. Or is it just the Bald Face Truth podcast? Not sure. Feels old-fashioned to say radio show. But anyway, he touched on something in there about Moda Center and the crowd. I think there's a lot of theater. I don't know if you saw Russell Westbrook when he ran out onto the court, but he ran on out like it was Cirque du Soleil. Did you see it? Did the television broadcast show Russell Westbrook sprint onto the court, run all the way down to Blazer fans, and start mad dogging them, pointing at them?
If they did, I didn't see it.
He ran from the Thunder bench before the tip down to the far baseline, and then pointed at like several Blazer fans that were in the crowd. It was very theatrical. I like Russell Westbrook. I don't want to like him. I like him. I like him because he plays hard. I like him because he's no nonsense. I don't for a second think he and I would get along in an interview because I think we would butt heads. And if I were covering his team, I think he'd hate me. But there's something about him as a competitor. It's the same thing Damian Lillard has. There's a competitor in him that's got a little snarl. And Westbrook, maybe better than anybody in the NBA, more of a snarl. I like the theater there. But Brokowski talked about something. I thought the Moda Center crowd, the Portland home crowd, I thought that they punched back, so to speak, figuratively. Punched back. It brings us to our big splash. We do it every day.
The one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where? Down there.
But the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, for the Big Splash, how about Enes Kanter with a layup that sealed it?
Kanter drives, layup, bank shot. He puts it in. Enes Kanter knocks it in. It makes it a six-point game. What a game for Kanter.
Little scooping left-handed layup. Blazers didn't call that as the play, but Kanter kind of looked around and went, hey, all right, this is me. This is my time. Good on Enes Kanter, who had 20 points and 18 rebounds and a couple of huge rebounds down the stretch, sealing Portland's victory in Game 1 against the Thunder. I know Terry Stotts downplayed it in the post game. He said,
you know, every game's important. Game 1's important. Game 2's important. Winning home court's important. So it really has nothing to do with what happened last year. It's about, you know, what we have to do to win this series.
Is he out of his mind? It has everything to do with what happened last year and the year before that and partially the year before that. The Blazers had lost 10 straight playoff games. People had forgotten what it was to win a playoff game. They could have, as I said and wrote, taken all the game field from those 10 games and stuck it all at Pioneer Courthouse Square and lit it ablaze, and people would have said, ah, that feels good. But instead, they went out and won a basketball game, and everybody went, ah, that feels really good. Credit to Enes Kanter. He won the game for him. Blazers MVP for Game 1. All right, we'll talk to Jenny Carlson of the Oklahoman coming up. What's going on with Russell Westbrook and a certain sports columnist that covers the team? Westbrook won't answer any of his questions. Plus, what's it like in OKC? Is it really a wide-open, tumbleweed-covered tarmac? Or is Jenny Carlson going to tell us it's a great place to live? We'll talk to her next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.